Praise the Lord. God is good this morning. So many smiling faces. The classes are coming back. I know there's a sign language class. We got the youth class. They're back in here. All the teachers and the students that were in Sunday school learning the same thing we were learning about, that God is a God of justice. It's really cool. So don't miss the opportunity to go home and talk to your family about it, or to talk to your friends about it this week and be like, what'd you think of that lesson? Like, I'm doing this part probably really bad or really good. Like, let's help each other. That's the whole reason we're doing this as a church, this Bible study. So we have some announcements this morning. First off, as you find your seat, I just want, on behalf of Pastor Grant and Covenant Gospel Church, we're just glad you're here. If this is your first time in service or watching online, we'd love to get to know you a little bit more. We'd love to get to know you further. And so if you could, there's a bit.ly link up there. You can go online, fill out a couple just questions, phone number, stuff like that. We'll reach out to you. We're not going to share it with the people that say your car warranty is expired. Okay? They clearly already have your number, so we're not sharing that. It's just to get to know you a little bit more and talk a little bit about your lives and what we're doing at Covenant Gospel Church. For giving options this morning, we continue. There's not going to be anything moved around here, but we have a plexiglass box in the back. You can give online. We have an app. The mail is still working. You can put it in the mail. There's options for giving. And then some events we have coming up in the coming month is the March Ladies Ministry event. There's a monthly event every month for ladies and also for men. As the family pastor, I'll take my extra 3 seconds here. But if you have the app, or don't have the app, download the app, join the group for ladies, click on events, and it shows all the events for the whole year. And the event for March, March 12th, is a mystery escape room. There is a cost, and there's a time the money is due by, but go onto that app or reach out to Sister Lindsay Simmons. Her and Pastor Jerry were ministering at a different service this morning, but reach out to her if you want to join this. It's $36, and it's due by the 1st. You could also reach out to Jane Rossing, who's at the booth. Sister Jane, can you wave in the way back where the lights are off? Or Autumn Lutzcraft, could you wave too? Autumn's right there. You can find them and say, hey, I want to go be a part of this mystery escape room. I got to tell you, I don't know which one they're going to, but I did one with my kids, and it was a blast. We won. We figured it out. It was a lot of fun. So this Wednesday, March 1st, is a missionary service here at Covenant Gospel Church. Les and Laura Clevenger, which are missionaries to Japan, will be with us. So come expecting to learn a lot about what God is doing and also how we could support them. And then this Friday, March 3rd, typically it's the first Friday of the month. It's pretty close, but you got to check the calendar. This Friday, March 3rd, is our all-church prayer at 7 p.m., where we come together and pray collectively. I know we're all trying to pray individually. We should be doing that, but now let's bring it together. Outside of church, let's have a prayer meeting, and that's what we're doing on March 3rd at 7 p.m. So this is the time. My wife sometimes says, they never announced that. I'm like, no, you were talking to Jack. They announced it. Put it in your phone. Pull your phone out. Put it in there. March 3rd at 7 p.m., prayer meeting. And March 3rd is like this Friday, okay, just so you're aware. And then next Sunday, March 5th, is our baby dedication. We do this twice a year. And if you're new to Calvary Gospel Church or new to watching online, we have a baby dedication. We do not baptize our infants. The Bible tells us that we should he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's some level of understanding what you're doing when we are baptized, that like, hey, I'm doing what God did. When he was buried, I'm getting buried in water. And this is going to remove my sins, and I'm submitting to the plan that God has for my life. And an infant doesn't have the mental capacities to do that. And we also believe that God's going to give them grace, that they're not going to go to hell because they didn't get baptized in their first 6 months of their life. So we see this in the Bible. But we don't just leave it there. We raise our children in this church. Both we encourage our families to, and in our classes, to have a love for God, to have an understanding for God, so when they reach the age where God starts to speak into their life, they do have that response. And it's natural, and it's not forced. So if you would like to have your child dedicated, if they haven't been dedicated, it's typically younger children, but if you'd like to have your child dedicated, you could find me after service. Today is the last day to sign up. So on that Sunday, 10 a.m., we'll still have the adult Sunday school and the kids Sunday school, and then at 11 a.m. will be our baby dedication service. Pastor Roy is going to be speaking. I'm super excited because he has a great message. He's already been telling me about it. We're ready to go. You can also head to the bit.ly link there, or go to the Church Center app and say, hey, I want to have my baby dedicated. A lot of announcements, a lot of awesome things happening at Calvary Gospel Church. A lot of people that God is moving in their lives. Let's all stand this morning. We're not here for announcements. We're here to be with God, to connect with God as a community. And so let's just start the service off with prayer. This is what I like to do, is just ask God to just take the distractions away this morning in my life. God, I want to focus on you. God, I want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And so whatever that looks like in your life, that's what I encourage you to do. So let's pray that God would have his way and that there's less of us and our needs and our lives and our distractions and more of him. And we will connect with him and God will move. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for your spirit, God. Thank you for your love and your grace, God. God, Lord, we just set aside our distractions for this week, God. We set aside the things that we want to think about or the work that's coming up this next week, God, and we just take the next hour and we just focus on you, God. God, let there be less of us, less of our desires, less of our passions, less of our thoughts, less of our intents, God, and more of you in this place, God. We welcome you into this place, into our hearts, God. God, I pray that you would change my heart and my mind today as I connect with you, as I spend time with you. Anoint the preaching. Anoint Pastor Roy. Anoint the music. Anoint the time at the end when we can respond, God, at the altar, God, and in our seats. God, have your way this morning in every part of this service. In Jesus' name.
The greater the cost, the more I believe for. Oh. the higher our reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe for, the longer the wait, the longer I place, the stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher our reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe for, the longer the wait, the longer I'll praise, the stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher I'll reach, the greater I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you. I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out. The longer the wait, the longer stronger the pain, the stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher I'll reach, the greater the cost, the more I believe for, the longer the wait, the longer I'll praise, the stronger the pain, stronger my faith grows, the higher the need, the higher I'll reach,
the greater the cost,
the greater the cost, the more I believe for. And I will praise you, I will praise you, I won't let the storm. I won't let the storms cry out. I will praise Jesus. Something in me has to.
I've got to praise
you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out.
I will praise you.
I will praise you. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry. Cry out, I will praise you. Something in me has to. I won't let the storms cry. I won't let the storms cry out.
Yes. They won't cry for me, God. I praise you, Jesus. By his stripes we are healed, by his nail-pierced hands we're free, by his blood we're washed clean, now we have the victory. The power of sin is broken, Jesus. Jesus overcame it all. He has won our freedom. Jesus has won it all.
Yeah. seeing no other name. There's victory in the name, Jesus. There's victory here today.
Praise God. There's such a powerful, powerful presence of the Holy Ghost in this place today. It just feels awesome. Soak it in. Thank you so very much to our praise and worship team for plowing this soil. We had a tremendous Bible lesson this morning, Brother Peter Sandin preached. Thank you so very much, Brother Peter. And you could be seated this morning. I would like to just once again welcome, if you're a guest of ours, it's so great to have you here today. It's great to see Galen and Ann Thompson again. It's great to see Rufus and Pam Parker. Sister Betty Weekly turned 85 years old today. Congratulations, Sister Weekly. 85 years old. That's incredible. It is great to be, how many of you noticed our new sign out? I want to thank Brother Al and Sister Carol. Just stand up, Al and Carol. Just let us, these two folks are the ones responsible for the sign. Brother Al has a sign business. And we met with, thank you so very much, you can be seated. He called and said, Pastor, what are we going to do about the sign? And I said, I don't know, Brother Al. He's like, well, God was speaking to me. He said, I come in and out, and I see the sign's not working right, and God just says, you're a sign, man, fix it. And you know what? He did, and I appreciate that. We appreciate that. And it's the first phase of our sign, and we'll be adding more to it as our budget allows, but thank you so very much for getting us light back. Our new logo looks beautiful. Thank you so very much. It's great to see Bishop here today. So we are in a series, and this is part three of our series, and this is a difficult series. It's a personal, if I could put it that way. This has probably affected my life more than any other series that I've had to preach or I've been able to preach. But we're going to forge ahead this morning, and we're going to be merging two varied thoughts together at the very end of this lesson here today. So I just want to get into this. We're talking about pressing on. That's our theme for this season. Pressing on. We talked about pressing on as a church, pressing on as an individual, as a family. We talked about the battle, or we're talking about the battle for the mind. How do I prepare my mind for revival? We're reading from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 out of the English Standard Version this morning. Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. That's what we were doing this morning. In worship, we were presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God. Pastor Peter spoke of that sacrifice this morning, holy and acceptable, humbly before God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the perfect will, what is good and acceptable and perfect. We're talking about preparing our mind for revival. We're talking about the battle for the mind. We're talking about mental health of the mind. When we start getting into mental health for our minds. People have a tendency to clam up, a tendency to cringe a little bit about, don't go there, Pastor. That's too deep. I'm not ready for that. But we're diving in. I want to ask you a very critical question to each of us here today. What if, for a moment, think about this, what if you did not possess the mental strength or abilities to test that you may discern what is the perfect will of God in your life? A perfect example of this in our lesson from last week was, we find the demonic man that had terrorized the countryside. He was full of demons. His name was Legion. Legion is 6 to 10,000 demons. His name was Legion. So who knows how many evil spirits this man had in him that were living within his body and in his mind. And here we find this man sitting before Jesus. What was he? He was clothed in his right mind. And Jesus was ministering to him. I don't believe it would have been possible for Jesus to minister to him if he couldn't get him into the right state of mind. So in order to get him there, he had to release him from the demons that possessed him. He had to find some clothes for him to wear. A little distracting having a naked man sitting in front, listening to you preach. So Jesus had to take and he had to address some things. And one of those things was he had to heal the mind of the man before he could minister to him. And so many times we have physical afflictions. We have maybe arthritis, or we have a physical problem, and we seek not just pastoral counsel, but we seek the doctors. We look for a doctor to take and help us. We take medicines that would help us perhaps and relieve some of the pain and the pressure. But when it comes to the mental state of our minds, we have a tendency to shy away and we don't want to talk to anyone about it. But this series is an attempt to address a number of issues within the church that for the most part, we just simply don't want to go there. As we dig deeper into our series, this is my attempt as your pastor to have a discussion or a series on mental health and how it affects the church, as well as the many members of the church who may silently struggle with such issues. I'm by no means, as I have stated before, an expert on this topic, nor will I state that I am an expert on this topic, but I will be sharing a number of thoughts. Some of these are my thoughts, and some of these are from others who have much more knowledge on this topic. One thing that I do have is some up close and personal experiences with the topic of mental health. And we discuss, or we have discussed some of this in the past, and we will discuss some of it later. As I stated, I am not an expert. I do not claim to be an expert. I'm not looking to give a diagnosis on this subject. I'm approaching it more from a pastoral point of view because I believe the struggles are very real and the church is not exempt from any of these types of struggles. Jesus went about everywhere meeting the needs of the people. Jesus was a problem solver. Everywhere he went, he solved problems. He lived in a world of brokenness and he came for the broken. He created this church as a haven for the broken. Our little statement that we have within this series, the church is for those that are broken, that's a church without the broken is within itself broken. We can't fix people if we're not willing to be fixed ourselves. We all came here with one thing in common, and that is that we needed Jesus. We needed Jesus. But once we found him, If you're like me, you discovered that you still need him. So pressing deeper into our study on the battle of the mind, we're going to start out today with the question that you may be asking. I wish to say, as I said, I'm not an expert on this, but I wish to the best of my ability to bring about a greater understanding. So when we look at this, can someone be spiritually healthy and still experience mental health challenges? Now, we finished off our last study was, as mental health issues due to sin or a result of sin in our lives. We covered that. I'm not going to get into that this morning, but we're going to look into the next phase of this. And can someone be spiritually healthy and still experience some mental health challenges? I wish to start off with this. As important as the question is, how we arrive at the answer is as equally important. Hear me now. Listen, a good answer with a poor conceptual foundation to undergird it will result in a sloppy understanding and a haphazardly application of that knowledge. So let's define, let's start off all on the same page on what is being spiritually healthy. Now you may sit here this morning and you may look at yourself and say, well, I am a spiritually healthy individual. But what does it mean to be spiritually healthy? How do you know that you're spiritually healthy? What is it that you have done or what experiences have you had that add up to spiritual health? Well, I feel that number one is embracing the gospel. If you're going to be spiritually healthy, you have to recognize your sinful condition and thus learning or leaning fully on the hope of Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. You can't be spiritually healthy and not lean on Jesus Christ. You can't be spiritually healthy and deny his death, burial, and resurrection or feel that they are not necessary or needed in your life today. You are here as a result of his death, burial, and resurrection, which is in turn through his death, through his burial, and through his resurrection should be providing for you the freedom from the overwhelming guilt that perhaps we often feel and oftentimes we battle in the very recesses of our minds. If you feel guilty about something that you have done in the past, where do you battle that guilt? Where does that battle take place? It takes place in your mind. You battle that guilt in your mind. So embracing the gospel is a very, very vital, vital piece of spiritual healthiness. Spiritual disciplines. It's not just understanding and embracing the gospel. It's what am I going to do with it once I get it? So, do I regularly engage with Bible study? Am I regularly reading my Bible? Do I pray? And have other disciplines focused on having a healthy relationship with God? Do I get along well with my brothers and sisters? Do I get along well? Am I emitting the fruits of the Spirit? Remember our series we did a few months back on the fruits of the Spirit? Are the fruits of the Spirit flowing out of me? This is spiritual disciplines. It's having a healthy relationship with God. Not just having a healthy knowledge about God. The world is full of people that have a knowledge about God, but having a knowledge about God and a relationship with God is much different. Do you have a healthy relationship with God? Not knowledge, relationship. Two different things. Don't confuse the two. Do I have a personal devotion with God? Do I live my daily life with awareness that my day-to-day choices are opportunities to witness and worship and serve God? Am I thankful for the opportunity to display God's worth in my life in these daily choices? Am I a witness for Jesus Christ. These are attributes of being spiritually healthy. Am I devout? Do I have a character to back up my content? What we say sometimes and who we are can be very different depending where we are and who we're with. You ever been with somebody that when they're with you, they're one way, and when they're with someone else, they're another way? A sign of being spiritually healthy is, am I growing in humility? Is humility a part of my daily growth process? Do I humble myself daily? Do I love people? Do I experience or exhibit self-control and other Christ-like virtues? Going back to the fruits of the Spirit. Remember, we had strawberries and bananas that everybody wants, and blueberries, not so much. I know some of you may love blueberries. I like blueberries, but I don't like blueberries just plain. I can just eat a banana plain. Blueberries just don't get there plain. They got to have other ingredients, other fruits with them of the Spirit. Do I have a strong theological framework? Now think about this. These are good. This is a good review for some of us older, more mature saints. Do I have a strong theological? Am I able to understand and communicate? That's the important part. Can I understand and communicate why I believe what I believe? I know a lot of people that they just like to say, well, that's what the Bible tells. That's what the Bible says. Really? Look it up. Study it out. A sign of a mature Christian isn't going to the pastor saying, Pastor, what does this scripture mean? There's nothing wrong with that. I enjoy discussion, so I'm not saying never come to me again and ask me. But a sign of a healthy, mature Christian is, I wonder what this is telling me, and you seek it out and you search it out. Am I able to understand, communicate why I believe what I believe? These principles that undergirds and builds up as a foundation the four previous marks of spiritual health. So, can someone... or can I embrace the gospel? Do I practice spiritual disciplines? Do I have a daily personal devotion and emit devout character? And all of this while having a healthy understanding of my theology, why I believe what I believe, and still experience, can I do all of that and still experience mental health challenges in my life? So in order to come up with the correct question on this, we have to ask the opposite question, perhaps. What type of list would we be comparing by the means if we were to put together a list of what do we mean by mental health challenges? Now, this is challenging for some of us here today because we want to hear Acts 2:38. But what if you can't get there in your mind? And you can't wrap yourself around how good God is that he would forgive you for your sins when you've been so bad. And this is a huge hang up for you. Understand, each of these that we're going to talk about is by no means a complete list or covers every aspect of our questions that we may have. But we're going to start off with one that I feel is very, very important. How well am I able to regulate my emotions? Oh, boy. Do I struggle or have a difficult time preventing unpleasant emotions from interfering into times where the situation does not warrant such emotions or to a greater degree of an unpleasant situation? Basically, can I control myself? We have to ask ourselves that question as a Christian. Can I control my emotions? I'm not talking about having the Holy Ghost come down in a service and hit you, and you break out into dancing and running and screaming. And I'm talking about when you're having a civil conversation with a brother or sister or someone at work, and something triggers you on the inside, and your emotions begin to rise up, and you can feel your face getting red, and you can feel it inside of you. We all sometimes struggle to regulate our emotions. This is a difficult thing because Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 10:5, taking every thought into captivity. So if I am to control my emotions, which begin in my mind, in my brain, if I am to control my emotions, and Paul is telling me to take every thought into captivity, and I can't do that, then what is the problem with me? Can I still be a healthy Christian and have emotional, uncontrolled outbreaks? You see, taking thoughts into captivity does not always eliminate the physical response. Have you ever talked with someone and said something to them and you got a physical response that you knew, don't go there. Stay away from that subject. We're not going to discuss that. You saw enough of a physical response. If you see that physically, can you only imagine what's going on mentally? Remember, God made us this way. We didn't evolve this way. God made us this way. God made us so that when he came into the garden in the evening, in the cool of the day, we were just emotionally ecstatic to see God. But that same emotional ecstatic to see him is the same emotions that caused us to run and hide from him. Taking our thoughts into captivity, physical response of uncontrolled emotions of such thoughts. You see, my mind sometimes can think one way. Have you ever been talking with someone and you have all done this? So you don't have to all raise your hand, but you've been talking with someone and they're saying something and you're going, And inside you're thinking, that's stupid. I can't believe I'm hearing this. But you're going, This is what we're talking about, emotional regulation. I've told people, I love my wife dearly, and I'm not picking on her, but don't ask her opinion if you don't want her opinion. Because she's not afraid to tell you her opinion. I love that quality. I know where I stand. There's never a question. I try to be a little more diplomatic. What do you think about this, Pastor? Well, let's think. I got to move on. Do I have an accurate? I want to dig a hole I can't get out of. Do I have an accurate sense of self? Scripture says no man has loved himself. If I have a difficult, or hated himself, if I have a difficult time persistently or periodically with a sense of self that's either self-loathing, we know those people. Sometimes we are those people. I'm either self-loathing, you wouldn't believe what happened to me, and it's all about self, or it's the other side where, look at me. Hey, I'm here, everybody. I'm here. I just walked into the room. Nobody turned around to say, hey, Roy, good to see you. I'm here. Hey. And we know we're in our minds we're thinking of people that fall into these categories. So do I have an accurate sense of self? Do I have relational intelligence? Do I have a difficult time being at peace in social settings? I mentioned this last Sunday. I have found out over the years that some people just don't like to be around crowds. I don't mind crowds if I know most of the people. I think we're all the same. But if I just snap my finger like that and everybody in this sanctuary changed into someone you didn't know, including who is talking to you, and you were sitting here and you looked around and you saw nobody that you recognized just like that, you would go into panic mode. you would think, wow, I don't know anybody here. So, do I have a difficult time being at peace in social settings? Some people don't like to be around crowds. They're not stuck up. It just causes them to become uncomfortable. That's why a lot of people, they like to perhaps sit in the back. And that's nothing against people that sit in the back. But a lot of times, usually the outgoing people, or the introverted people, excuse me, don't just waltz down and sit in the front. They want to be a little bit obscure. They don't want people to recognize or notice them. They don't like to be in crowds. We cannot always predict the response our actions will receive when we walk into a crowd of people. Some we recognize, some we don't. Reality testing. Do I have a difficult time with unpleasant thoughts? Disturbing or indiscreet thoughts, or discerning fanciful thoughts from actual events? Am I able to distinguish the difference between fact from fiction? I'm amazed at how many people struggle with this. The result is often bizarre behavior, or they become paranoid. And some of it seems reasonably based upon our perception of reality. I was talking with Brother Blake George one day, and we were talking about a situation that we were both kind of on the outskirts involved in. And he said, well, it's perception is reality to so many people. What they perceive becomes their reality. So if they think someone's talking about them in their minds, you are talking about them. If I'm looking at Brother Rico, but I'm really looking and thinking about Brother Ryan, but I'm looking at Brother Rico, Brother Rico thinks, wow, he's talking directly to me, but I'm looking over his head and I'm looking at Brother Ryan, and he leaves and he thinks, man, the pastor stared me down the whole message. I wonder what I did wrong. And he goes home and he thinks about it and he talks with Julia and they talk about it together, and they're like, well, he hasn't called us in a while. Maybe there's something wrong. Maybe he's upset about something. And all week long we fret about it. And what happens is, even though it's his reality, it's a perception of his, it's really not what actually was happening. So attention weighing consequences and other factors. I'm going to throw in a term here because I don't know how else to call it. But when we think, and our minds think, as a man thinketh, we're gonna call our minds, we're gonna call that an executive function. Okay? Because everything starts with an executive decision in our heads on how we think and process things. So executive functioning, that part of our brains that make executive decisions. Should I go to church today? Should I not? Do I need to get gas before church or after church? Who are we going to go out with during church? Who are we sitting? All of these decisions, all of these executive decisions, that part of our brain, our reasoning portion of our brain, it's about the size of a golf ball. All of your personality, all of the reasoning, where you can sit down and something happens to you and you think it through and you reason it out. All of that out of all of your brain takes place in a spot about the size of a golf ball. We look at these mental health qualities that we talked about. We talked about these qualities as an aptitude perhaps, or a skill or an ability. So when we look at how well do you relate, how is your emotional regulation, if we look at these like playing music or perhaps a sport or drawing a picture or doing math or learning a language, mental health cannot be reduced to a set of aptitudes. Are you following me here today? This is so we can better understand our own thinking process, as well as some of our brothers and sisters' struggles as they try to think through these processes. So when I say, can a Christian be spiritually strong and still experience mental health challenges? I'm saying that someone can be a devout, powerful Christian, but still have a persistent struggle with some of these aptitudes or some of these skills. I think we could look in the scripture and we could find, we talked about Elijah, how that Elijah probably suffered from some kind of a I don't want to say a mental illness, but what is that? Were you polar? What, help me? Bipolar. He probably suffered from something of that nature, and God was patient with him. But can you as a Christian be spiritually strong and still experience mental health challenges? So can a devout Christian, let's just look at both sides of this. Can a devout Christian still be a Christian and struggle with learning Spanish? Do you think because you can't learn Spanish that you're backslidden and there's something wrong with you? I hope you're thinking here this morning and I'm not over your heads. Can a devout Christian struggle with being in a crowd of people but still love people and be effective witness? You see, I may have to have help with learning Spanish because I'm not good. I have a hard enough time with the English language. And I sit down and I listen to some of our Spanish brothers and sisters, and they just go on and on and on, and I'm like, I have no idea. I just smile and say, I'm thinking, I'm hoping they're saying something good. Because I don't understand it. But you see, I can have help with learning Spanish, but I can also get help in getting over my anxieties about being in a crowd. You see, both of which, we have to understand, both of which may never come to completion or be fully remedied until we get to the other side, until we make it to heaven. Our bodies, our minds will not be perfect until we make it to the other side. So many of these aptitudes are cultivated through personal experiences, through social settings. Rather, they're positive or negative through life choices that we make. I am who I am because of everyone that I have been in contact or I have brushed against in my life. And the same with you. But you see, who I brush against and how they affect me and who you brush against and how they affect you, we can both come to very different conclusions. Does that mean because you had bad experiences in your life and you struggle with some of these things that you can't be a good Christian and still have some of these struggles? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. You see, if I were to pull out a baseball here today and I were to put a target up here and I say, everybody take and try to get a bunch of guys out here or gals and say, hit this baseball, hit that target with this baseball. We have learned through life how hard we have to throw that baseball to get it where we want it to go. Through how? Through experience. Through life experiences. And it's the same way with some of the mental health issues that we may struggle with. Some of these things we learn as we go through life, and sometimes we don't learn them as we should learn them. That's just like some of you wouldn't be able to hit that target with the baseball if we had it 3 feet in front of you. Because you've just never learned to throw a baseball. Does that mean there's something wrong with you because you can't throw a baseball? No. It just means you don't possess the specific skills to do such a thing. We look at jogging in life. I mean, you people are out jogging. Some people jog so eloquently, and some people you watch them jog and you're like, they're just flailing. But you see, you learn how to jog. You learn a pace. You learn that if you're just out for a leisurely Sunday afternoon, beautiful Sunday afternoon jog, you're just going to slowly plod down the road, and you're going to enjoy that. But if you look behind you and you see a black bear chasing you, I can guarantee that your jog is going to shift. You will no longer be jogging. You will be running like you have never run in your life. So when we look at lingering or relenting mental health issues, should not be a matter of shame or cause a Christian to doubt their salvation. So if you're here today and you say, you know what, I struggle with some of these impulse controls. I struggle with some of my thought processes. Listen, you can be a good, effective, powerful Christian and still have mental health issues. Paul writes to the church in Rome, and I'm getting a close so if our musicians can come. Paul writes to the church in Rome in Romans 8:22. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Our minds and our bodies, like the rest of creation, are groaning to be made whole. We should expect to find some degree of differences and mental health struggles among Christians that we find in physical health and physical abilities. We must believe that in vibrant Christians, we can have physical issues, just like some of us, we have physical issues, as well as some of us aren't as smart as others that are here. But when we look at mental health versus physical health, we judge them much differently. We should strive to be excellent stewards of our mental health as well as our physical health through whatever means God has made available to us. So does that mean that every time you have an illness, you run out to a doctor? No, not necessarily. Does that mean every time you have an uncontrolled thought, you check in with a therapist? No, not necessarily. I'm not going to judge. I'm not going to make those decisions for you in your life. You know what you struggle with. What I'm saying today is that if you're having struggles in some of these areas, don't be ashamed to seek help or seek counsel. I'm not a counselor. I'm not trained in this. It's not my, if you need counseling, you need advice on how to fix your plumbing in your home, I can help you with that. But I can't help you with some of these things. And I feel sometimes wholly, totally inadequate as a pastor because I can't help you in some of these things. But we should strive to better differentiate with life struggles. And we need to avoid and we need to listen. And please listen very closely. We need to avoid being passive toward a weakness that we could strengthen. So if we have an area in our life, if it relates to mental health issues, if we can strengthen that area, we need to strengthen it. You don't have to stay broken, if I can put it that way. You don't have to feel shame for a weakness that you cannot control. But neither of these responses honors God because God wants you to be whole. He wants you to be whole in your body. He wants you to be whole in your mind. He wants you to be whole in your spirit, your soul. And we should strive to better understand how these facets of mental health, they progress and they regress across our lifetimes, spans in our lifetime. Brother James Hawk just celebrated his 75. He's retiring at his retirement party yesterday. We were talking and laughing. Go ahead. How we go all the way back to my teens and his 20s. how that when we went camping up in Black Earth at the farm, we had a tent that was a 5'6", I believe it was, little pup tent. Brother James and I shared the same tent. I took a picture of it sideways and his head sticking out one end and his feet are sticking out the other. We laugh about those things, but Brother James, life changes. Our perspectives change, our health changes, our situations change, how we process things as we get older. I always wondered sometimes old people. I used to laugh. I would laugh at my mom and dad. They would go to Texas. It'd take them 3 days to get there. I'm like, how in the world can you take 3 days to get there? I mean, you get in that car and you drive 16 hours and you're there and you're done. Now my wife and I get in, and the last time we went to Texas, it took us 4 days to get there. Why? Well, because I've learned some things in life, that you don't always have to be first and you don't always have to be fastest, but you can enjoy the journey. And God wants us to enjoy, if you can stand, God wants us to enjoy life mentally, physically, and spiritually. So my prayer is in this series that it would encourage sincere Christians who feel unnecessary guilt because they struggle with continual mental health issues, that their personal devotion does not always remedy. You know, sometimes we can pray and pray and pray, and we can fast and fast and fast, and we just can't seem to get there. But also my prayer is for this series that would equip us as saints to think more about how others may struggle with life's ups and downs as it relates to our ability to process life. I believe it was Abraham Lincoln that in the phrase, all men are created equal. I understand his context behind that, but unfortunately, we're not all created equal. Some of us were born into homes that were abusive, that left scars on us physically, emotionally, mentally. Some of us never got the support that we needed, perhaps, or you needed when you were young. Maybe you married a spouse that followed up on that abuse. We were not all created the same. We all have to live life, and we all have to process it. And as Christians, we have to think about the spiritual and the physical and the mental side of things. And last, increase the quality of our care through personal relationships, through connections or ministries, by improving and understanding of the juncture of mental health and spiritual maturity. So today, can you be spiritually mature and still have mental health issues? Absolutely. No one here is perfect. No one here is perfect. Are you struggling? Are you striving to be what God wants you to be? That's what we need to do. Whether we have issues or not, we still need to strive to be what God wants us to be. So as our worship team leads us into worship, I want to open up this altar this morning. If you're struggling here today, don't feel ashamed. We all struggle with all of these areas of our lives at some point or another. You don't have to fight that battle alone. You don't have to fight it. People that will come alongside, put their arms around you and say, brother, sister, I fought this battle. I know what you're going through. This is what God did in my life. This is what God did for me. So I want to open up this front. God bless you. Thank you.
Testify that Jesus is alive. testify that Jesus is alive. Every stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every mountain will be leveled. Every desert will be flooded. Fear is overcome by perfect love, perfect love. Every stronghold will be broken. We will see the heavens open. Fear is overcome by perfect love.
I just want to close out this morning. I just want to encourage you that, you know, there are times in life when you could be spiritually strong and something will happen that just shakes you to your very core, and you begin to question everything. You begin to question the Word of God. I know, because I've been there. And our spiritual healthy, our mental health are so intertwined together. And we have to understand this is how God created us. And we don't have to fight, and we don't have to solve all of these problems that we struggle with by ourselves. God didn't put us on the planet by yourself. That's why there's a church. That's why there's a church body. And we're all here to help one another grow. And if it means growing through pain, then we grow through pain. If it's spiritual growth, if it's mental growth, physical growth, that's what we're here for. If I don't have an answer, we'll get an answer. So if you have answers and you're like, well, Pastor, you already said you're not qualified in those areas, we'll get you where you need to go. We'll help you get there. And you don't have to be ashamed. Don't got to hang your head. God is good. Now, this Wednesday, we have a missionary, Japan. So we're excited about that. And then next Sunday is our baby dedication. And then we're going to continue with our series. What's coming up in our series is we're going to talk about anxiety. And we're going to talk about what triggers things that happen in life that trigger us. You ever had something, you drive down the Beltline and something happens and it just triggers an emotional I use the Beltline a lot because I hate driving on it, and every time it's an emotional experience. So we're going to talk about anxiety, how we can deal with that. And I'm doing my very best to make this as well as spiritual applications to this, things we can do, apply spiritually that will help us stronger mentally as well as physically. So God bless you. Thank you so very much to our worship team today. Did a superb job. Great to see Brother Sister Parker here, and Brother Sister Thompson here. And make sure you shake hands with Brother Hawk, who is 75 year retired. Sister Betty Weekly, who's 85 years old today. Thank you, Brother Al and Sister Carol, for the awesome sign. God bless you.